Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
The NCAA transfer portal is not even open for another 3 weeks, but the Iowa Hawkeyes have already seen what the portal giveth and what the portal taketh, as Iowa offensive lineman Kaden Proctor announced shortly after 24/7 Sports and The Athletic, Scott Dockman reported that Proctor will be entering the transfer portal to go back to Alabama after just 2 months in what's seemed to be a bombshell all around college football, because we haven't seen anything like this yet. But with no guardrails in the transfer portal, it's going to get crazy. So Swarmcast, David Eichel, Sean Bach, breaking down what the hell happened with Kaden Proctor in this entire situation. Sean, I guess let's just start from, let's backtrack a little bit and set the time frame of everything. So Kaden Proctor obviously committed to Iowa a couple summers ago, stayed committed for a while. Alabama, Oregon, a couple other schools continued to stay in touch with Kane as, you know, Iowa's offense continued to kind of sputter a little bit. Then 2 days before signing day, 24/7 Sports broke that Proctor was no longer committed to the University of Iowa. Seemed likely he's going to Alabama. Proctor goes to Alabama, spurning his home state, starts 14 games for the Crimson Tide, and then right when Nick Saban retired, these rumors started to heat up that Proctor was looking to enter the transfer portal and then eventually return to Iowa. And we'd been kind of hearing rumblings about that since November, Sean, maybe a little bit earlier, but November, December area that Proctor was looking at entering the portal.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. And obviously he ends up committing to Iowa, and, you know, it was a pretty quick process. I know that Ohio State reached out to him. There were a few other programs that ended up reaching out to him, but he said in his comments when he committed to Iowa that Iowa felt like home. Like, that's where he was going. He was going home to Iowa City. He always felt that connection with the Iowa staff, and always felt that connection with a couple of the players, and just felt like it was the right situation and the right time for him to come back. And We've heard over the last few months, like, a couple of positive things about it in terms of him adjusting well to Iowa City and getting used to, you know, his new teammates and guys that he really formed a good bond with during the recruiting process. But ultimately, it just kind of felt like maybe things fizzled a little bit. I don't know if it's, you know, maybe it wasn't what he expected. Maybe, you know, he had a different mindset than what he originally had coming into Iowa City and playing for the Iowa program. But I think Scott Dockman was the first to report that he went on a spring break trip with a couple of his former Alabama teammates. And, you know, that's when things kind of started to turn. That's when he really felt like he wanted to go back to Tuscaloosa. I confirmed with someone close to a Kaden yesterday that he was getting out of Iowa. No secret there. Kirk Ferentz released a statement yesterday. Everything, you know, seems to point to him going to Alabama. But yeah, I mean, it just goes to show what kind of era we're in college football, because, you know, thinking back, I mean, even a couple years ago, like, if you transfer twice, like, you have to sit out a year. Now yeah. It's like, okay, you can transfer to a school, and then 2 months later you can decide to transfer away, but then still be eligible to play at that next stop in the next year. It's just a wild situation. I mean, we've heard a bunch of stuff behind the scenes and a bunch of stuff of what maybe potentially came to be in this situation. And, you know, there's so much that you can kind of pull out, but I mean, it's like, at the end of the day, like, this just happened so quickly. I don't know.
Yeah.
If it was something that Proctor, you know, obviously you hear stuff and you can never really be inside an 18, 19-year-old kid's brain. But, you know, it just seemed like those in Iowa City around the program really started to hear about this and really started to become a thing yesterday or Monday when you know, Caden ended up not showing up to workouts and whatnot, and you know, they were informed of it. And it's a bit of an unfortunate situation, because I mean, I'm all for the players having a bunch of freedom, and like I said, you never really know what's going on inside a kid's brain, or kid's mind, a kid's head. But at the end of the day, like, this just seemed like it was a unfortunate situation that, you know, potentially, I mean, it was Caden's decision at the end of the day, but you know, it's just fascinating to see what the timing was, because it makes it a little bit nuts, dude.
And here's the thing, like, this is not going to be the first time that this happens, as long as there's no guardrails. Like, this was the bombshell across college football yesterday, and understandably so. And I think Iowa fans, there's such a greater impact here. But let's clear up a couple things. My first thought when this happened was, man, I wonder how much NIL money he got and how much of it he got up front. And you think about this Iowa fan base, it's not as big as an Alabama fan base, Ohio State, Michigan, like all these big giant football collectives, right? So you have to convince a bunch of people, which, by the way, fans should not have to front the bill for athletes. Okay, that's my personal opinion. I think it's a little bit ridiculous that it's come to that. But again, no guardrails and uncharted territory. But Brad Heinrich, CEO of the Swarm Collective, has come out and stated that Caden Proctor has not gotten a dime from people's donations. Now, he's gotten some money. He shot a couple commercials. He did a little bit of NIL work on the side, right? That was money from corporations that's separate from people's donations. So I think that's a very important distinction. But how many people are going to actually that donate are actually going to understand that, Sean? Because Brad's already come on our board and stated that there have been Swarm membership cancellations. And I think it's important for people to remember the Swarm is a big reason, not the only reason, but a big reason Iowa held on to Jay Higgins, Sebastian Castro, Nick Jackson, you know, YA Black, like a lot of players who could have gone to the NFL and decided to come back. So when people revoke their Swarm memberships, et cetera, it's not just about Caden Proctor. It's about the guys you already have coming back. So I think that's important to state. But I'm curious what the fallout's going to be between the Iowa fan base and the NIL collective, even though Brad has come out publicly and said, hey, there's some misinformation here, or people are jumping ahead to conclusions. So that's a big thing. And number two is, like, I don't want to blame Caden Proctor. You really can't blame Caden Proctor. I don't blame Iowa in this circumstance either, honestly, Sean. I think it's a very unfortunate thing for them. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but Kirk Ferentz has to be just done with the way college football is working right now. I mean, Iowa put their, you know, necks out on the line for Proctor. They wanted him to come back. Obviously, we entered the portal. They put together a pathway. Trevor Lauk switched numbers for Caden Proctor so Proctor could have number 74, right? There is a lot of things behind the scenes that have been interesting. And the other part is, while Proctor is doing everything he could to, you know, prove himself to his new teammates, etc., let's not act like there wasn't some speculation, or I don't want to say mistrust, between Iowa's team, especially Caden's recruiting class they would have come in with, and Caden when he arrived at Iowa. It wasn't one of those, hey, you know what, we're happy you're here, we're happy to embrace it. They were pretty much in, hey, you know what, prove it. You want to be here? Prove it. And we saw what happened 2 months later. I'm not saying Proctor did not prove it, but Kirk, if this bridge wasn't burnt already enough the first time around, I would have a hard time, if not impossible time, trying to imagine Kirk and the team trying to get Caden to reconsider his choice before the transfer portal opens. This is done. I think this chapter needs to be closed. And it's just a very weird circumstance, and it's a very dangerous precedent of where college football is heading.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said. I mean, I don't see a scenario where Caden ends up in Iowa City, or, you know, is potentially ever welcome back in Iowa City again after, you know, I mean, like we said, he's just a kid, just an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid. But, man, like, to do this twice at the last second, and, you know, obviously the window opens up in I think it's April or May, like one of those. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact date of it, but to do it the day before spring ball and right after your spring break trip, where you were with a couple of your friends, your former teammates from Alabama, like it just seems so odd and so peculiar. But I mean, I guess, like I said before, you never really know what's going on with someone, and you know, maybe he never felt that comfort that maybe he felt at Alabama, or maybe he, you know, I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't a fit. Maybe it just wasn't something that he wanted to do. Maybe he just felt that, you know, hey, I had it pretty good at Alabama. I thought it was going to be different when I got to Iowa. It wasn't. And, you know, I'm going to go back. You know, there's definitely a certain culture that I think you have to be a football player at Iowa. Yeah. And I'm starting to wonder if there were, you know, certain factors that maybe Caden wasn't, you know, totally in it like maybe some other guys are, or maybe he didn't absorb it. You know, that's just me speculating. Like, I've known Caden for a while, and, you know, he's always been good to me, always been, you know, pretty vocal recruiting process. And, you know, just the fact that he did this twice makes me believe that, you know, maybe he thought things were going to be different the second time, but, you know, they ended up not being different. And, you know, I just don't think it's a fit at the end of the day. And like you said, I think it's in, you know, you make that mistake once, okay, I get it. You go there a second time and you say, okay, it's going to be different. After the second time fails, then you're kind of like, okay, yeah, maybe the two parties weren't meant to, you know, go hand in hand together. And that's totally okay. Like, that's okay. Like, I get it. I understand it. Like, you know, not everyone's not going to fit everywhere. But, you know, I think it was just not a good match at the end of the day.
It's so weird to me, though, too, because the more I think about it, the more you need to keep in context. Caden committed to Iowa when they had no offensive coordinator. Brian was gone. Lester was not hired at that point in time, right?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And there's a lot of speculation on two fronts. Number one, some people are blaming George Barnett. George Barnett has probably barely seen Cade Proctor since he's been on campus. Iowa's been going through the strength and conditioning program. They've not been working with position coaches. Now, there might be a meeting with, you know, George Barnett. They may have spent some time together. I'm sure they have. I'm sure he spent time with Tim Lester. But the other important part to remember, Sean, I don't think Iowa spring football started till today. So it's not like he's been doing on-the-field work with his new team. This is just strictly from a strength and conditioning standpoint and winter workouts and winter meetings. So that's what kind of raises my eyebrows ahead of it too. So I don't want to say he never really gave Iowa a chance, but did he really? Just because there's only so much he really got to experience. He didn't get to do anything on the field. But as I kind of alluded to, as you've been speculating, as we are speculating, maybe it just wasn't a fit once he got here. But I do remember talking to him during an impromptu media scrum during an Iowa basketball game. He just essentially said, this is home. I love it here. I love being here. I have a lot of friends at Iowa. And I'm very curious what, you know, Xavier Wampa has to say about this situation, what he's thinking about the situation. Those two guys won a state title together. Xavier obviously went to Iowa. I thought he was going to get Caden Proctor here. He was very excited when Caden Proctor ended up coming here. And now he's going back to Alabama. And this is, again, I'm not trying to complain too much about the state of college football, but it's just such a weird dynamic to me, because essentially this, I know somebody made a joke of this on Twitter, but it's almost 100% true. It's like Caden ended up moving into an apartment in Iowa City, worked out with Iowa, and then got a front row seat to watch Caitlin Clark for 2 months and said, all right, never mind, I'm going to go back to Alabama. Like, he never had to actually be on the field and learn Iowa's playbook. He never really had to do it. So that's one of the most mind-boggling parts of it too is, and this is something I don't want to speculate too much, but it has to be worth a discussion. How much does this piss Kirk Ferentz off about where college football is at? I don't want to say this alone accelerates his timeline, but you got to think. I mean, Sean, you've been covering Kirk Ferentz for a number of years as well as I have. Kirk's favorite part about football, he has stated repeatedly, is spring football and fall camp, because it's just all the guys together. It's about on-field football work. It's not game planning. It's not scouting. It's about individual development. And that's his favorite part. And he feels like he can barely do that anymore with where NIL is at, where the transfer portal is at, and everything else. So I know that we've heard from sources that Kirk is still in it for a few more years. But I'm not going to lie to you, Sean. Like, this does make me think, does this situation push up Kirk's timeline? I want to give it more time so I have better perspective on it. But this is kind of where my mind's going right now, just based on this, because I cannot imagine what's going through Kirk Ferentz's head after all this. Because even 5 years ago, this just seems like an absolutely crazy concept.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I also think it's one situation that, you know, is obviously impactful and obviously is important, but I think it's going to be one of those things where Kirk kind of just goes, huh, like, okay, that's college football now, and just lets it go and just lets it be. I really think I have a hard time believing he's going to lose a lot of sleep over it. I mean, I get it's frustrating, but I mean, I'm excited to hear the rant that he kind of has about college football when he meets with the media next week too. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to move up the timeline at all for him. Like, I wouldn't dive that deep into it. But, I mean, it does lead to more potential press conference sound bits that are going to be pretty entertaining. So, I think it's going to impact more the offensive line. And, I mean, obviously it's going to impact the offensive line. You have a lot of guys coming back from last year. George Barnett's probably most experienced offensive line unit that he's had. And
question.
Not having Caden Proctor at that left tackle spot is going to hurt a little bit. I mean, you can have Mason Richmond out there. He was hurt for a decent chunk of last season, especially towards the end. Likely have Jennings Dunker at the right tackle position. And it's kind of wait and see of who can really emerge behind those two at those tackle spots and be that reliable third option. And then on the interior, got a lot of depth, a lot of pieces coming back. Connor Colby, Tyler Ellsbury, Nick DeYoung, Bo Stevens, Logan Jones at center. Like, you got a lot of pretty good pieces there to work with. It's just, you know, what could this offensive line have been with Proctor of his talent on the field? Like, that would have been, could have potentially Mason Richmond at guard or James Dunker at guard or one of the others at tackle. And, you know, you're looking at a really good unit. And now it just takes a little bit of a step back. But I think it's one of those things that it's better that it happened now as opposed to, you know, happening in before fall camp or even after spring ball.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note this too, because, again, you got me thinking about this a little bit more. By the way, I was not trying to say that Kirk's timeline's moving up. I'm just saying, for people that weren't, like, aware of it, that's where my mind went. But I do think Kirk's more of a big picture guy. He's not going to be isolated on one or two incidences. So I'm with you. I don't know if he loses too much sleep, but we're going to definitely might get an all-timer Kirk rant next week. And the other part is, it's good for Iowa they didn't go through spring football. Because what if Caden Proctor had gotten all the reps at that starting left tackle spot and then said, eh, you know what, I'm out. And then George Barnett, Tim Lester, Kirk Ferentz are sitting there being like, well, why the hell do we give him all the starting reps at left tackle? We could have sat there and actually developed guys who were going to play for us this fall. So I think that's a valuable thing to also think about. Yeah, Jennings Dunker probably holds down that right tackle, probably keep Mason Richmond at the left tackle. Iowa still has a little bit of a scholarship crunch they're going to have to figure out. And I think they're going to. But the other part that I'm thinking about, Sean, is does Iowa go in the transfer portal for a left tackle if there's somebody good enough to try to pursue? Or is this situation going to deter them from that and they're just going to trust the experience that they have in the room that they're going to develop enough to be able to raise their game from last year? Because, look, again, Mason Richmond was hurt for the majority of the year, so I'm not trying to pile on him, but you cannot have that same level of you just can't have that same level of play going into this year. You have a starting quarterback who's fresh off back-to-back starting, you know, in season-ending injuries. Iowa is apparently going to play a little bit more up-tempo, do a lot more quick passes. You need guys that are going to be able to protect Cade, also allow Caleb Johnson, Jazzy and Patterson, LaShawn Williams to break open in the open field. And again, we're speculating how this offense is going to look based on what we've been told. I'm excited to see it, but, you know, at this point, it's frustrating that they lost Proctor. I get it. But the timing and before spring football, that's probably the best case scenario for Iowa, that he didn't take up all the starting reps at left tackle. It just develop depth, get ready to raise your game, and just get ready to get back out there for fall, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but I really don't know if a lot of the offensive linemen are losing a ton of sleep over it. Just because I think, you know, the buy-in is there right now from this unit. Like, I think there's a lot of good buy-in. And, you know, this offensive line, you know, maybe it's another thing to put a chip on their shoulder. I mean, there's been a lot of – they've received a lot of flack over the last couple of years for their performance and how they've kind of been up and down. Yeah. You know, maybe this is just another thing to add to fuel to the fire and, you know, potentially break out this year as a unit. So spring ball will be interesting. I'm excited to hear what Kirk says, obviously, next week. And then, you know, as we continue to hear tidbits here and there about spring, it should be a fun couple of weeks.
No doubt. And last quick thing before we wrap this up. When it comes to Cam Proctor, like I said, I heard from people that he was doing a really good job in workouts, like he was doing his best to integrate with the team. But specifically the offensive line, I mean, we got told before Proctor even arrived, when there was speculation that he was coming when he entered the portal, Sean, that not everybody was on board with it. It was going to take a lot of hard work from Kane to kind of prove himself. And again, I'm not saying he didn't, but based on the departure and everything like that, the same people that were thinking that way, they're not losing any sleep over it. They don't even care. The only thing they're probably thinking is he is exactly who I thought he was. Because these are guys that came into the recruiting class or were going to come in the recruiting class with him, who actually know him on a deeper level. And the people that, you know, tried to allow Kane into the Iowa culture and the team, they're a little bit disappointed, but they said, all right, you know what? You guys are right. He was never really with us. So it's a big loss for Iowa, but at the same time, Iowa never really had him to begin with. He hasn't played a snap. He hasn't even practiced a snap of football. So I think I'm not saying to take some solace in it, but I do think it's worth at least keeping on the greater picture. So Sean and I will be back tomorrow, Thursday, March 21st. We will talk Iowa women's basketball. We'll talk Iowa men's basketball, looking ahead to Utah after a really big win against Kansas State in the opening round of the NIT. Peyton Samford, NBA stock keeps going up. Ben Cricke delivering when Iowa need him most, and that season is not over yet. So stay locked in to HawkeyeInsider.com. Follow us on Twitter at David Eichel, at SBOC247, and at Hawkeyes on 247, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.